This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Jenny, you know me. You know I love to gamble. And normally, I mean, you know this, right?
I do.
I mean, normally, yeah, so the biggest gamble I'll take frequently, I'll take gambles like I'll order truck stop sushi. That's a big gamble.
It's like airport sushi, you know,
absolutely.
Same.
Or I'll online date with somebody who's been really heavily filtered.
Yeah, fair enough.
So those are my online gambles. But for sports betting, I mean, whether it's the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball, you know, for me, the place I go to is betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action.
Oh, you're telling me, being a Houston Astro fan, I know that's not popular right now because of the cheating, but whatevs. Yeah. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action happening on betonline.ag.
Yeah, and I'm a novice, so like it's also a great place to get the news, odds on for all of your sporting needs. I don't think they do ice dancing yet, but I think it's coming. but for the major sports, your Major League Baseball, your NBA, your NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action.
Which I know you're a huge fan of violence.
My God, all of it.
But I'm here to tell you, but you'll get real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine with betonline.ag.
Yeah, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. And here's the thing. You'd think that would cost something like a fortune to sign up, but you'd be wrong. It's free to sign up.
It is totally 100% free.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, before you even see another pitcher walk on the mound,
yes,
head to betonline.ag on your laptop, mobile device, iPad, Kindle, I don't know, whatever, you know, works for you.
Flip
and
phone.
Guess what? Take advantage. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Holy balls. BetOnline, they're your online sports expert. You don't have to sit on the sidelines anymore. You get in the action and use the promo code CLNS50. To receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That is CLNS50. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
1,000%. Everyone go immediately right now. Let's make some money. We've all been sitting around just losing money during this pandemic. It's time for it to come back in our pockets. And that's what betonline.ag is here to do.
And there's no surer way to make money than to bet on sports.
That's how I was raised. I know that's how you were raised. And I think that's the most important thing in the world is sports and gambling.
And
let's do it. Doing it.
Do it. Get on this Doing It Nation. BetOnline.ag. And use the promo code CLNS50. One of those things, every time I hear it, I hear something new. You know, I pick up different pieces of tone and meaning. Yeah.
Both like names. You hear both names.
When I watch Airplane, I always catch something new.
Yeah, no, it's Eli Braeden, he's very, very deep.
He is. I'm a little sad he didn't mention Robin's titties somewhere in the.
I wonder if we should do. He might have an extended version of the song that we can release to some lucky listener.
We could do the remix.
Yeah, people do that in success. So yeah. First we should get success, and then we should do the remix. So let's not put You're the cart before the horse. Well, boy, if you like comedy, are you in for a treat today?
I'm fucking thrilled.
Jenny?
I'm gonna introduce, because he's my friend, not yours.
Wow. I'm literally just meeting him right now, although obviously huge fan of his work.
So. Jenny, I feel like I know you a lot better than I know Jenny already.
Okay, boy, this intro is about to get ugly. He was on the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Where you know him from.
Yep.
No.
Actually, four times. My neighbor, my wife talked to my neighbor today who was binging the Gilmore Girls and was surprised to find me on there, which, I can't help it. I'm just trying to live my life now. I'm just trying to stay low key.
We're definitely diving into that. But this is truly one of my favorite shows, like hands down.
Oh,
you know, this Family Guy, you literally are the voice of all my favorite characters. It's Mike Henry.
Nice. Woo! Thank you, guys.
Everything.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, no. He does Bruce, Herbert the Pervert.
Let me try to give you some Herbert. Hold on.
Yeah, I want
to. Come on now.
There you go.
Let's run him down, man. I mean, you do basically every voice that Seth doesn't do and isn't the female regular cast. It's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I used to do Cleveland.
Enough said.
A lot of success, but you literally, when I say, I remember when you and I first met,
yep.
I couldn't wait to talk to you because you do one of my favorite accents, which is a Southern gay gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by Bruce. And
they're here.
Mike even mailed me a Bruce.
Oh my God.
A Bruce action figure with the CPR doll.
Yeah.
And Oreos.
But that is amazing.
Oh, nobody drank any of the coffee.
Only a few of the Oreos. Yeah. Yeah, that was back in the day. We'd sit in this random building on Laurel Canyon across from Gelson's next to the 4-20 pie shop and pitch jokes and make characters back before we were even on TV.
I actually, I was on Just Shoot Me at the time and I was doing the rounds because I was leaving.
You mean
Just
JSM?
Shoot. JSM. You know, okay. We call it JSM, you know, the shoot. And I was leaving that show. And I was like, shopping around what my next thing would be. And I actually met at that building. I met with.
Is it Dan Palladino?
No, I met with Seth and David.
Zuckerman.
Zuckerman. So yeah. And it was there. And I just seen that little, the little short film he made where he's like walking out of laughing at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. I feel like this would be a fun show to work on. I didn't ultimately get it, but and I'm not bitter. Son of a
no,
bitch.
You shouldn't be.
I mean,
showbiz will never make you bitter.
I went on to great success. That's all I'm going to say.
You have done very well.
But I remember that little building, and I was very I was all, you know, I agree with you. This that show is just, it was so dense with jokes, and you guys absolutely went for it.
Yeah.
And what was amazing also, because we actually had, I did a show shortly after you were canceled, which people may or may not forget. The show went off. And with a couple of the writers there, it was Mike Barker.
Yeah.
And
Matt Weitzman.
Mike Weitzman and, what's his name? Henteman.
Mark Henteman. Yep.
Yeah, and they were all on a show I was doing for the WB, and you know, we're constantly talking about, like, that just seems so crazy that show went off the air. It was like it was so quotable, and then of course it came back bigger than ever, which never happens.
It started before the internet, you know, for such an internet friendly story series. Like, I remember sending the writer's assistant or the PAs to the library to get reference stuff, like the first season.
Wow.
Yeah,
our
literally.
Catalog and everything.
LexisNexis.
Yeah.
Yep.
I actually remember, like, when it was canceled, I was in college when it started. And I remember, like, it Family Guy was up against Friends.
Yep.
And I'm like, how? Really? So I would watch.
And Survivor.
Oh my God.
So I would record, you know, like record Friends. And I usually would record Family Guy and watch Friends because I would want to rewatch Family Guy.
There you go.
You know, funny. And I'm like, how? And so when it was canceled, I was like, well, how the fuck did you even give them a chance to survive when you put it against Friends?
Yeah. We started after the Super Bowl and then we were on Sunday nights and then some politics came in and we got bounced around and not really promoted and ended up Thursday nights at 8. And then, you know, the ratings were crap. And, you know, I think it was the kind of thing where the champions who brought it, you know, the people who championed it at the network left. And so it was, everyone had their, you know, has their agendas and wants their shows to do well that they've developed. And it was something like that. I don't really know the details, but we were down for a couple of years and then Late Night brought it back.
Was it Adult Swim or was it the DVD sales?
I think it was both. I remember Adult Swim, you know, and I, you know, demographics, ratings, blah, blah, blah. I really don't know. But the story was that we would beat Letterman and Leno, who were the late night shows at that time at 11:30. We'd beat them in the key demos.
Yeah.
And so, and the DVDs, I heard some story like they expected to sell 100,000 units of the first couple seasons and they sold 3 million or something. It was, clearly they had their finger on the pulse when they canceled us.
Yeah. That was a story I'd heard. It was the DVDs. So cause I can't think of another time what happened with Family Guy has ever happened where a show is canceled and then brought back to the very same network.
Yeah. Brought back with a 35 episode order, no less. It was, you know, all in. So that was exciting.
Was it like being married and then somebody cheated and then they came?
And then they, yeah. And then they got another woman pregnant with American Dad and then came back. That was Danny Smith's joke back in the day.
That's really funny.
Actually Barker and Weitzman, who you just mentioned.
Yes, I know.
Co-created American Dad with Seth when Family Guy had been canceled.
I remember.
So here we go. Blended family.
You must have been so, I mean, you couldn't, when you first heard rumblings about it, that this could happen, were you like, bullshit, this is not going to go? Or
well,
no?
Seth and I were very tight. And so he sort of kept me in the loop. And it was kind of like, you know, week to week, we would talk about it. And it at one point seemed dead. And I had the foresight to not go get another paying job. I just started shooting Kicked on the Nuts because my brother and I thought it was funny. And so we did this.
Never not funny, by the way.
We did a web series that we've, you know, it wasn't real. We didn't really kick people in the nuts, but it was this hidden camera show parody thing that we made $0 on. So that was a good business decision. We just went and shot the shit with our friends and put it up. That was it.
Oh, it was hilarious. And your brother, by the way, you know, loved it. He was a fantastic.
Yeah. My brother, Patrick, passed away 5 years ago, almost from diabetes. And but he was funny as shit. And he actually was Seth's roommate or one of his best friends in college. And that's how I met Seth and got involved with Family Guy.
And how did you get involved? Like with voice acting, was that something that you wanted to do? Like, how did you get into doing that?
I just always imitated people my whole life. And before I even pursued comedy, I was always the guy in the smoke filled college room imitating everyone. And, so I had it in me and then I just scattershot. I was doing improv. I was auditioning for commercials. I was studying Groundlings. I was studying UCB. I was doing voice stuff that I made myself a demo and got a couple little local things here and there. And then, I did a bunch of character work in one of my brother's student films and, you know, Seth and I cracked each other up and there you go. That was my break 8 years into the pursuit.
Wow. And where did you grow up and when did you come out here?
Yeah, I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and my parents were artists and divorced and all I wanted was a normal family. So I went to conservative Washington and Lee University where I thrived, frankly. I had a great time. I was a big frat guy and class president and all this kind of stuff. And
oh, that's awesome.
And a year out, I was working in advertising and realized pretty quickly that I would much rather prank call my bosses than deal with marketing numbers. And so I just said, fuck it. And I moved to LA when I was 24 and started doing Groundlings and stand up and waited tables at the Brentwood Daily Grill, waited on OJ and Nicole Simpson.
Wow. The juice.
Yeah.
Well, he was a slippery guy, man. When he came in, honestly, it was had some bad mojo on him. Even back then, I was like, this guy is he's full of shit, but I wouldn't want to try to tackle him. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. He gave him a bad dude vibe for sure.
Devilish vibe. I don't
know. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was actually living, I had an apartment back then, like right at the time of his, of the murders, like about
of the allegations.
Preceding it.
Yeah.
Right.
Allegedly. But right. I was very near the Daily Grill.
Where'd you live?
I lived behind the, you know, the San Vicente there, I think was what the Daily Grill was on.
Yeah.
If you went up Barrington toward Sunset, the first street, you make a left. I can't remember what it was.
Montana.
Behind the supermarket. Yeah, it was behind the supermarket. And there was just a condo there that my fiance at the time was renting. And I would go there all the time.
I bounced around. I lived on Goshen, Kiowa, Barrington. Those were the ones. I loved that time. I had no freaking money. But I was free as a bird, and I was pursuing what I wanted to pursue. And, you know, it was the best time.
Oh, absolutely. It was super fun. And I do have fond memories of it as well. So,
But I find it interesting, Danny, you don't know this, but Mike doesn't live in LA.
Yeah, I'm in Virginia.
He lives in Virginia.
I'm in Virginia. Yeah, I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
I didn't even know Virginia existed.
It's here. It's wonderful.
But I think because you're able to make your voice work and you from your home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have to raise your child. And
no, I got two kids. I got a boy who's about to be a senior in high school, and my daughter is a rising seventh grader. And it's a great spot to be for now. You know, we're still looking west one day, but it was a good time to come back. I'm thankfully was here during the COVID stuff. I mean, you can go outside and walk around, or you could at any point. You just throw your mask up when you walk near anybody. But when I visited LA in March this year, my God, you guys have been through it out there. I mean,
it's been rough.
I'm not right. Like, I still feel like I saw Danny for the first time last week.
Wow.
In person. Yeah.
And I did not know how to. In like a year and a half. Like, it had been.
And we were awkward. I mean, we talk every week. But yeah, I was awkward with, it was just, it's been very strange. Yeah, I think this whole city has a little, I'm sure people in New York probably do too, but have a little PTSD.
Absolutely.
From the whole thing. I wish, in hindsight, I wish I was stranded somewhere else.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shit. I know, I would talk to like my family back in Texas and they're like, what's wrong? We're fine.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean here?
We went down to Florida in March and it was, I'm like, look at these assholes. Oh yeah, we're in Florida. you know, and we chose to come and that's fine.
That's on you. That's your fault.
Yeah. But it's great now. I mean, shit. I went to this high school championship baseball game last week, about 600 people, not a mask in sight. And it was out in the country, which it probably would have been the same 6 months ago.
That you might not have been, depending on where you were. Yeah. That was definitely the case. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's been brutal, but and I see people kind of coming out not knowing, like, do we hug, like somebody, like the first party, like party-ish party I went to was a couple weeks ago and somebody I hadn't seen in a while, like, when
does party-ish mean it was just a little bit of cocaine or what does that mean?
It was just Molly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But someone went to shake my hand and I was like, what? I was like, what? You're like, who's, I started, I guess we can shake hands now again, which is like, it was very strange.
You know, you're vaccinated and you tell yourself like, that's okay. Because I got that. But when you, I mean, I can't compare it to like being in prison or something like that, but it's like a house arrest in a way. Like we didn't go.
Of course.
Things and everything was shut down. I walk around and there's board, you know, all my favorite bars and restaurants are boarded up.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is.
Yeah. Speaking of that, last summer during the height of the protests and stuff here in Virginia, my friend went down near where he has this art gallery and he had it all boarded up and as was everything. And I called him, I said, is it okay if I wrote white owned on the boards? I'll tell you. So
and he was like, was please, funny. Yes, do it.
That is a really funny Oh, that is
okay. So I have to get back to Family Guy because Mike,
please. Know. I'm gonna just shut my camera off for a second. I can still hear you. I'm gonna just grab something, but keep going. Okay. Keep talking.
Okay. I know what you're gonna grab. Jeffrey
my
Tubin.
My penis.
Okay.
He's gonna do. You'll hear it.
I know. Tubin is a verb now, right?
Right. Like every time we're about 15 minutes into the podcast,
right,
he always has to excuse himself.
Okay.
That is not true. It's happening. I need to.
There's going
to
be pasties when he comes back.
I need to defend myself here for a second because last podcast, you weren't even on the camera and I was on the camera the whole time.
Well, she was taking a dump. Ooh, I'm sorry. Did I say that, Jenny?
Oh, that was a sweet way of saying it.
Are you taking a dump right now?
She's making the face.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so ask the Family Guy question. I want to hear about this.
Okay, so all the characters that I love, I mean, did you created all these? Like, when did you, like, was it something you created with other people? Like, Herbert, Consuela?
Well, I'll just go sequentially. We were fleshing out Peter's group of friends, and I had literally just played basketball with this dude in Virginia from Maryland. And so I just started talking like Cleveland in the writer's room. And, you know, Peter and Quagmire were in the scene and there's a lot of kind of rat-tat-tat, very quick paced stuff. And Cleveland just took a deep breath. And
like Peter and Quagmire, both Seth.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Both Seth talking real fast. And then I just slowed it down with a Cleveland line, like something like, sometimes it's nice to enjoy laughter, you know, just random. And so then that stuck. And then Herbert was just a folksy old guy that I worked with at a grocery store in high school. And I would imitate him back then with this old voice, you know, as if he's squeezing women's boobs as he's, you know, putting the groceries in the car. Yeah. Whistles.
That whistle.
Yeah. Come on now. Out of me.
I know. I love the whistle. Like the whistle part of that is just like, it's so precise. And I was a question I was going to ask, like, was that based on someone you knew? And of course it had to be.
Sort of. I mean, it was an exaggeration, but you know, that there's nothing folksier than an old whistle, you know, an old folksy pedophile.
It would. Now, when you say that, I'm going to say this person's name. I don't mean to connect the two.
Okay.
It was with the whistle, but Dan Rather has a whistle.
Oh yeah,
when he speaks. He has a
he does this
whistle, and the first
we've done some bits on that. Alex Sulgin pretty much nails him. If you've seen that Family Guy bit or two,
yeah. And I, by the way, love Alex Sulgin. I think it was the first episode that Herbert was on, and I vividly remember losing it laughing because it was all the at the end of the episode when he left all
the voicemails, like
the answering machine. And I'm sure it also in my head, I was like, what a cost cutting way to just have all the characters are frozen and you just hear, where are you? Where are you?
Yeah. Get your fat ass back here. Yeah. So that, and then Bruce, like you said, that guy's all over the South. Any weird little kind of antique boutique, you know, it's, oh, hey, I, you know, you look over there at them trinkets. That one's from the Civil War era. It's like, oh, that's cool.
Have you ever been out? Because I mean, these characters are so iconic and they're so part of it. Have you ever been in a situation where you've heard just somebody doing that voice or a catchphrase or like, you know, kids or because I've heard people doing these voices or attempting them.
Right. So,
attempting them is probably better.
Honestly, not. I mean. Yeah, I mean, from time to time, you hear it randomly. Yeah. And one person, I think, pegged me as Cleveland, who had no idea who I was. He just, are you Cleveland?
Like, really?
Yeah, that was years ago. Somebody with a very good ear, I guess.
But do you get recognized a lot? Because you were also like on, you're an actor. You've been on.
I don't get recognized for shit. And that's great. You know, like it's, you know, like just hanging out with somebody like. But like going out with Seth Green or something at a Comic-Con, it's like he can't walk 10 feet and nobody knows who I am. And I just keep rolling. At first, I was kind of like, hey, you know, like whatever. But, you know,
try being the writer.
Yeah. No.
There is nothing more humbling than walking a red carpet for any kind of a ceremony. and watching every reporter crane their neck and then like, yeah, you know, and go back like this.
I've gotten that. They don't know you got a line. Same thing. Yeah. No, that's fine
it's
with
really
me.
Fun.
Who,
I don't
who
care.
Is the character that you love the most that you've done?
Well, I, you know, it was Cleveland. And now I'd have to say Bruce, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I kind of like
him. Consuelo was always funny to me too. It was just like this kind of.
Oh yeah. Well, Consuela, I actually had a cleaning lady who would not do anything that you really asked. Like, can you start in the other room? And I was kind of like, no, I start here. okay. I'll go in the other room. You know, like, and you just had to accommodate how she wanted to do it. And that's where it came from. And the beauty of Consuela is even though she's looks to be the low person on the totem pole, she's always in charge.
Right.
And, you know, so that's, there's always something about a character that has to have a little, a little contrast to make them interesting or funny. And I think that maybe is it with her.
Well, like when she kicked Brian out of the house.
Oh yeah. Doggy Afuera. Yeah.
Yeah. Like she's still running it. And I love when she took Stewie. Like she just.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She kidnapped Stewie. I mean, she was always in charge. It was very, very funny, but. I had a like my stepson. I'm divorced, but like we watched that episode.
I'm just kidding.
We watched that episode, the Poltergeist.
Yep.
Episode Petergeist.
Petergeist, yeah.
And that whole we could quote it with Bruce doing the "Is my baby brother gonna be okay?" And it's the whole that whole thing about seeing a walking past a restaurant and seeing a guy with a hair eating soup.
Of course, it wasn't a restaurant's fault. Yeah, I can't remember the whole thing, but
it was like I never went back.
I mean, right.
It wasn't the restaurant's fault. I just didn't want to get
right with somebody dying to get some information about their deceased relative.
Right.
Yeah.
I have not. That one I haven't seen. I have to see that one.
I have to see it now too.
Oh, I gotta watch it. I really like the one we watched in the Modern Family room. It was like a bunch of because we had actually, we had like Elaine Coe wrote for a season on that show, for one season and then came over to ours. And so, but we were watching it, but I think it was the focus group one, which all was right. Like that one is just like insane because you actually like took a shot at us and it was like, and we, I think people must, I mean, unless it's really brutal, people must genuinely like when you guys take your shots.
I mean, God, if there ever was a show that is just freaking jokes, you
it's
know,
just
I mean,
a joke.
It is just jokes. And God, believe me, over the last year, I have been kind of really trying to figure out what in the hell is going on. And it's jokes, you know, I mean,
it's just,
I have so many friends of so many colors and orientations, and we always completely rip each other up. And
of course.
You can't do that in public because, and everyone's, you're going to be blackballed. And it's like, you got to be freaking kidding me. But
there is one of my things that I was doing during the whole pandemic that brought me joy was looking at reaction videos on YouTube, like people watching something and how funny it was. A compilation of every dark, horrible joke on Family Guy and then watch people's reaction to it.
Oh, great.
Oh, you have to look it up. It's one of the funniest things ever.
Yeah, I will.
And people will, I just want to, people will survive being offended. It's like you will survive it. Okay, go on.
Well, that reminds me. I just saw something that Seth Rogen had said. He was like, comics need to get over like the cancel culture and just realize some jokes don't last. Like, they don't withstand the test of time. Like some, it works then and then you cringe when you think about that joke 10 years ago.
Well, why do you cringe?
I don't, but
you cringe based on what people will think now. I mean, if you have to stop and think about whether it's okay to laugh at something that's funny, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, like it's,
I agree with you completely. I think what it is, if I'm interpreting Seth on this, Seth Rogen's thing is, of course we did jokes 20 years ago that would make me cringe right now, just because they don't, it does, there's things in the times that change, and it's fine. I'm not apologizing for the jokes I made in that right. context,
right?
But comedy has an expiration date and it evolves and stuff like that. But the idea, what you're saying, and this is what gets me, Michael, is like when people are afraid to laugh at something, if it's funny to you, fucking laugh. And by the way, you should also not be afraid to bomb. Sometimes you're going to take a swing and it's going to be not funny and it's going to be offensive and yeah. it's going to be fine. And you know what you do? You move on to the next thing, because we're not like, I'm sorry, you're like, it's fucking comedy. Yeah. And I do think the funniest people survive this. I do. I think the people who complain about political correctness all the time in terms of comedy, I think a lot of them are not. It's like Bill Maher. I mean, it's like, tell an actual joke, then, like, be funny. Like, I'm sorry, I don't like Bill Maher, but but he's like, you know, his whole act is get off my lawn now. That's like what it is with kids, and it's like, well, I don't know if it's political correctness. I heard your monologue. Those are easy jokes, you know.
So. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, he's commentary. He's got a point of view, and you know, I find his point of view refreshingly unpredictable. I don't get too worked up about anything political. So I'm sort of probably an anomaly in Hollywood, but I don't really give
me
a
either.
Shit.
No kidding.
No, it boils down to just individual relationships and conversations and being cool to people that you come across. And, you know, it's the old Carlin stuff about groups of people suck and, you know, individuals are great.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you on this. Absolutely. So,
the people, I have to ask, so like how many, you know, guest voices, like people that come on Family Guy and they play themselves or whatever. We actually had someone Danny and I were both like shitting ourselves because I'm like a ridiculous fan. I can't believe she did it, but we had Anne Murray on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And I love it. Like,
that's great.
And she was, first off, one of the coolest, like most down to earth. I could have talked
crazy
in 3 hours. She was amazing, but she did that episode.
Oh yeah.
And she was like, so sweet. She goes, I just felt good because, you know, she came across like a hero in the episode. Like,
sure,
no one took a, you know, a shot at her. But
yeah, if she hadn't done the voice, that would have been a different thing.
It's always hard to be. It's always hard to be terribly mean to the person when they're in the room.
Of course, that's the whole thing about individuals. No one would yell at anyone the way people do online. Like, it's just
absolutely.
Yeah, you don't. You know, it's all about
who
humanity.
Yeah, who has been a person that's been on though for you that was like your favorite? Like, did you ever?
Oh God, when we did the Cleveland show, I got to meet all of my heroes. I got Johnny Bench on. He was my childhood hero.
Wow,
and
I had his baseball bat when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. David Lynch, who's my favorite filmmaker, was
me too. Recurred
on the Cleveland show, and I got to sing a song with Earth, Wind, and Fire. So those were the top three. It's called "Get Your Hump On This Christmas," and it's available. It's out there. I don't know why no one's heard it.
I didn't realize that. Like, were you in the room and sang with?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
That was one of the first concerts I ever went to.
Yeah,
Earth, Wind, and Fire, Madison Square Garden.
Oh, and, that's great.
It was. I'm a huge fan of that. And by the way, a huge fan of David Lynch. I mean, I would put Mulholland Drive at the top of my my top two favorite movies of all time.
Really? Okay.
What else?
What's the other one?
Well, of the David Lynch stuff,
or what you say the top movie? Top two movies of all time.
Well, I'll say top three movies. Well, the other one is Geely and Space Camp. So those, and then
that's good.
Drive. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Well played.
So yeah,
Space Camp.
We've seen Space Camp. It was just a ragtag group of kids.
Yeah,
and they were not. They didn't agree on anything. The space shuttle accidentally takes off, and they go into space.
And they now
these kids actually have to work together as a team to get this thing down.
Right.
And all those little things, the wisecrack, like all their skills come together. And you know what? When they land on Earth, they're richer for the journey. And I think the audience is too.
Right. That's good. And then do they go back to their tribes and all hate each other?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good description of the movie. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was a movie that was one of my favorites as a kid, and then I rewatched it recently.
Oh.
And wow, did that not hold up?
It's like Pringles. It's like, God, Pringles were so good. And then you eat a Pringle now, and you're like, God, I have to go diarrhea.
It's like, I want to just say, I've never really seen Space Camp. I saw clips when it was there, and I could tell you, I feel like I told you the movie, though, pretty much.
You did.
Yeah, you actually did. Yep. That is not.
What was the one-page script for the, who was the pilot that landed the thing in the Hudson?
Oh, Sully?
Yeah,
Sully.
There was like a one-page script for that online a couple years ago. Did you guys see that?
No, what was it?
Okay, I can. You know what? I shouldn't have.
I'll look for it.
Remember.
We'll find it.
It's
funny as shit.
It is hilarious.
We'll put it on that.
We'll put it in the links.
Do it.
We'll put it in the links.
Okay. Also, you were on Orville. That was a. Was that what?
I did a bunch of Orvilles. I played Lieutenant Dan, who's got like a big old kind of mushroom head and is just sort of an oddball engineer on the Orville, and.
Which also helped you from being recognized.
That's right. Yeah. I did that a lot, but honestly, the prosthetics, I just couldn't do it anymore. It was brutal just getting made up. And then, you know, it was a couple hours on, another hour off, and a lot of waiting around for coverage during the day. And it was in a black studio, you know, everything, there was nothing natural about the environment. And I couldn't breathe anymore. So.
Yeah, that shit on your head was like the poop emoji almost. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We'll put a link to a picture of Michael and that. That set was insane. We had to, sometimes we'd need a swing set, and we used one corner of the stage for some reason. We had to put up a wall for something at the Orville set on the Fox lot.
That is amazing.
Holy shit, that set. I could not. I never walked through anything like, you know, there were the two sets that really impressed me on my time at the Fox lot were that one and the short lived 1600 Penn, where they had created the White House. And it was
the Oval Office.
It was insane.
Wow.
How realistic it all was. So, they just took you to another world.
You know, it's all pretend.
It's all pretend.
It's all pretend. It is. But that set is something else. I took my kids on it when they were younger, and it was really cool to be able to walk them. And one day when we were shooting, Neil deGrasse Tyson showed up. And so
really,
I got to talk to him as an alien, you know, like it was a very random day, but.
Was he like,
and he was like this thing. That
right. Get this. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. the physics are all fucked up. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm cussing on your podcast. Can I cuss on your podcast?
Michael, let's watch the language, please.
Okay.
I'm teasing.
I'm one of the hosts, so I think we know.
Okay.
It's pretty gross.
Let's fly with the fuckies.
Exactly. Okay.
All right.
We like it. We want F dodgeball. Just.
All right. How about queef?
Oh, my God.
You might be the first person to say queef on this podcast.
No, right. Anne Murray. and then
he's like, right.
So this is number
Scott
2.
Kelly,
that's good. That's good. Did you do stand up, Danny?
I did. This is a long callback. Yeah, I'm starting it again, but it's like, it was like right before the pandemic, actually in the year before the pandemic, I was like flirting with doing a little stand up, and I put together like maybe 7 minutes, and I was just doing it, not telling anybody. And then Jenny calls me up because she's headlining the Improv in Washington. And she says, I need like an opener. And I was like, I have like 7 minutes. How much would you need? It's like, you know, about 20. And so that weekend, I just like going through all my jokes, writing and doing it. But I wound up doing 4 shows with her, and it was like,
how'd it go?
Like, first one a little rocky. After that, they got better. And when you're seeing Jenny and even the woman who was hosting, who was like a skilled comedian as well, and all, you know, I knew I had a long way to go, but it was because they're so good, but I got the bug again. So I've been writing.
That's great. I did. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that was the weekend. Like we did a weekend of shows, flew back, and then everything locked down.
And then everything shut down. Last flight I was on. But go on. What were you saying?
Yeah, I did the Judy Carter stand-up comedy workshop in 1990.
Wow.
She wrote a book called Stand-Up Comedy, and she taught a workshop.
I actually remember this book.
Yeah, I'm still friends with Chris Frangiola, who was in my class then, who did stuff with Chelsea lately back in the day, and he's doing a lot of other stuff. He's touring. Adam Ray is actually going to be in Richmond, I think, next weekend. So I'm going to hang out.
Oh, wow.
With him.
Yeah, former
no, I know.
Doing it Nation favorite.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Great guy. Hilarious guy. And yeah, I always kind of want to do stand up, but I don't ever do it. Maybe one day.
I will say I did stand up when I started doing stand up when I was 17 and did it like through college. Had no material, was just kind of doing an impersonation, and like got out of college and couldn't coast on just my charm, and I gave it up. But coming back to it with all the scars I have in my many decades on this planet and all the fuck ups I've made, it's like, it's so much. Also, not having to rely on it as a sort, like already having accomplished something somewhere else, it takes all the pressure off.
Yeah.
I die inside anyway. So I'm really enjoying it. I've been like writing. I just did a friend of mine has like did a private open mic, and I did with at their house and with
was it through
comics.
A glory hole?
It was through a glory hole. And yeah, I got an HJ. I think it was an HJ. It might have been anal. I don't know. It's a glory hole. Who knows?
Yeah. It's all the glory. I remember I did when I was trying to develop an act after the 6 weeks of Judy Carter. I did something at the Improv with Mark Lanau. And you remember he was Bud Friedman's partner. And
I remember.
I would be up on stage telling jokes, and it was all about forming your persona. And he just cut me off at one point. He goes, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
And I was just like, "I don't know. I'm 26. You know, I'm just 26 trying to smoke my reefer and get laid, man. Just leave me alone."
That's who I are. Come on, man.
Yeah. Who are you?
Anyway. What have you got happening for you right now? What's your,
I'm writing all kinds of stuff, and, it's been quite an interesting year for me. And, I've just got a lot of different perspectives on the business and life and society. And I've basically just stopped being on Instagram or any of that stuff a few months ago, 'cause I just got to a point where I'm like, I don't care. And I'm thinking about Alan Watts, you know, Alan Watts talking back in the 60s about how if you need to validate your life by
having,
you know, like basically back then he's like, they didn't feel validated until you saw yourself in the newspaper. And the easiest way to get in the newspaper is to commit a crime. And then at least you see that your existence is documented and blah, blah, blah. And that just kind of hit me with social media for a minute. I'm like, you know what, when I got something to promote, I'm going to jump back on there. But I'm not interested right now.
I definitely cut back myself. I knew, like, frankly, once, you know, Trump was out of office and stuff like that, I just could not. And even leading up to that, it was affecting my mental health to be involved in it that much. And so I absolutely, I feel you on this.
I don't think anybody's, opinions are changed online. I mean, it's really,
I'm doing it. I'm changing.
Oh, you are. Okay. Never mind. All right.
You should follow me more, because my clever turn of phrase and my observations are fire emoji, I think.
That's good.
Yeah. I think it's good. And also, you know, and when someone famous dies, it's always nice to put myself into the story about their death.
A picture with them.
If I can have a picture with them or just post a picture, and or just talk about how they, you know, what they were there for me in a specific time, just as much as I can show that picture.
I'm sorry they died. And what it did for me was, I can't do it anymore.
I always like when somebody dies and there's like a person, you know, people like to post the picture, they'll dig up. But I like sometimes when I see the pictures, like a group of people and one person's on one side of the room.
Right.
And they'll have like circles.
Funny.
You know, for that party in 93, that was me.
Right.
And,
shook his hand on the way out.
By the way, I actually was at a Simon Garfunkel concert in Central Park. And so if one of those guys dies, I'm going to show that picture and I'm going to circle. It's so great being part of that. Like just circle that dot on the line.
Yeah. So we mutually impacted one another.
The night we shared.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, we've reached that part of the show. First of all, it's fucking great to have you on, man. It's like,
Thank you. You're so
it's fascinating to hear the story, and I hope I get to hang with you in at some point. I really love that. And Jenny too. With Jenny.
Yeah, well, yeah. And the guitar. And the guitar and back of Jenny.
I now have I should show you because I moved, but I should put that behind me. There's my bass.
Your bass.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so you're classy.
Yeah.
I'm classy like that.
By the way, my guitar is missing a string. It has my name on it. It was like
nice.
Yeah. Oh.
It wasn't like.
Shit. So we talk about stuff we've been watching or like or recommend or things like that. What's something you're into right now?
I've just been watching Cleveland Show reruns.
Oh, it's non-stop. So good.
That's all I watch. That and Family Guy and old Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
No.
Replace all of those with Modern Family on Hulu, and I am with you.
I love Modern Family. I hung out with Mr. O'Neill out on a vacation once, where he goes all the time, and we hung out, and we had Ed O'Neill talked to me about a great prosthetic story. He was in some miniseries or something in England. Do you know this by chance? And we're talking about how shitty it is to wear that stuff all day. And if the production schedule doesn't accommodate that, it just, you know, if you're waiting for other scene, it just sucks. And so he basically told a story where he was in the thing and they kept screwing him, and he had all these long days. And then finally, during the last day, he's like, take this off. I'm done. You know, and he made the makeup guy take it off. And of course, as soon as they took it off, they were ready for him. And it was like a big group finale thing.
Oh,
and
no.
He said he went in the main producer and just said, you guys have been apologizing to me for a month and a half. Today, I'm apologizing to you. But really enjoyed hanging with him. But what do I watch?
Super good.
Honestly, we just watch documentaries all the time. We watch Nat Geo stuff.
That's what we watch a lot.
We watched something on a Mayan temple last night on the Disney app. In Mexico, and it's just all stuff like that. I'm just kind of, my wife is really into The Handmaid's Tale, and so I'll be in the other room writing while she watches that. And then what else do we dive into, you know, with the kids? My daughter loved The Mandalorian, so we watched the crap out of that, and I'm telling my agent hey, I want to be on The Mandalorian, and like, yeah, okay, good luck. It's all documentary stuff. We watched the one about the triplets who were separated at birth.
Oh, about the scientific strangers. Identical strangers.
That was fucking fantastic.
It's you can't beat real stuff. I mean, like, that's, I don't know. I'll get back into some series stuff at some point, but right now we're just watching docs and hanging out, ripping bong hits, you know.
Oh man, you're so
hanging
cool.
out with kids.
Doing the reefer.
That's it. It's going to be legal here in 1 month. In July, it's going to be recreationally
in Virginia. Permissive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Virginia is a wonderful blend of
the
spectrum of politics. It really is. There are really all kinds of people here, and I actually really like having a wide variety of people all around.
I think you get plugged into reality more that way, I'm sure.
You do. You do. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Jenny, what are you watching?
Yeah.
Okay. I cannot say enough good things about, I've talked about
it. Let me tee it up.
Okay, you know, I
feel the same way.
That fucking Mayor of Easttown, the finale.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Watched it yet.
Oh, my God. You're lucky because you can just bend. There's 7 episodes. You don't have to wait every Sunday.
And it's great, and it pays off.
Holy shit. And it's just one of those, who did this? And you think every person you're going to, no one.
Was it Hugh Grant? Was it Hugh Grant? Did he do it?
Always Hugh Grant.
Okay, cool.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the murder mystery thing?
That was.
Yeah.
What was that one?
Undoing, was it right?
The Undoing was Hugh Grant. And then, but this one is, what's her name?
Kate Winslet,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. and Kate Winslet with a Pennsylvania accent that I wasn't even like on the radar of what a Pennsylvania accent is until I watched, but she's like, somebody get my phone, you know, and then it's no, almost like Bruce in a way, but the
nay.
O.
Nay.
There's this, oh, but this British girl, it.
Murder, dirter.
murder mystery. You have to watch it. Don't look anything up and get let it spoil.
I won't.
The finale was on Sunday night, and it was so good. And then I also watched that movie on Hulu, Plan B, that was cute. It was like a kind of had that Booksmart Superbad vibe.
Oh, cool. I haven't heard of it.
Yeah. Natalie Morales directed it. It was like her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Those are my things. What about you?
Natalie Morales, the Today Show person?
No.
The actress. People confuse them constantly. No.
I watched this thing that Al Roker directed. I'm kidding.
Called The Perfect Storm.
Obviously, I love. Obviously, I'm very, very continue to be impressed with Hacks. Oh, and I just watched. I think this kid's a fucking genius. I mean, I guess he's 30 now, but I just watched the Bo Burnham Alone. And do you know Bo Burnham or?
I actually watched it last night. I can't believe that it slipped my mind.
I mean, I don't know about you, but it affected me.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, he has so, it's just great. It's like not purely comedy, but it's this thing he shot in his house alone, but he lit it. He did this, it's very, with songs, and it's very like, he captures the absolute angst and anxiety and hopelessness of, he shot it for over a year, I guess, right. in there. And I thought, I mean, I don't know where he gets his depth. He was making comedy when he was 20.
He plays piano and sings. It's like he's a musical, you know.
Act.
I've done a few shows with him, and he's also, I cannot say, he is one of the nicest people.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met, and but his comedy, like I started watching it. I had to stop a little bit because I was like mentally like getting in a bummed out place because it would
too.
Go in like in waves, but I finished it. It was really great.
Yeah. So that's the one I would, the new Bo Burnham special. Holy shit.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're not going to have a laugh riot at it. I will tell you that. But it's like, he's doing something special, I think.
Cool. So
I was impressed. Okay, Michael, fucking great.
Yeah.
You didn't disappoint. I gotta say, I fought you being on the show. I was not like I thought this is gonna. I think I maybe used the words huge mistake, and this will be a disaster.
Okay.
And like, is this a podcast or an abortion?
Right.
But I was so wrong.
Wow. I mean, thank you.
Unless you really wanted an abortion, then it was that kind of abortion.
I'm a kicking, screaming, breathing human being.
Right.
Thank you.
But in Virginia, you could be that and then get aborted, right? Isn't that the...
You can pretty much do anything. No one gives a shit here.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Just lay low.
Here's a thought. If we can find the Cleveland singing with the... Earth, Wind, and Fire... That would be a great way to play us out, Guy. And if we can't
get your hump on this Christmas,
I'm gonna look like a shithead.
Yeah, but, Guy. Right. By the way, Guy, do you have anything you want to add?
I'm unmuting. It's a very, very good show.
So, we let him talk every so often, and this is what he does.
Right, he's living up to that picture.
Guy, are you in a drive-thru right now?
I am not.
Are you high right now?
I mean, possibly.
We love Guy.
Guy's our man.
Well, that's it. I mean, look, some people would have like a really solid ending, a real bing, bang, boom. Mm-hmm. We don't. We just sort of dribble. We just sort of dribble out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We peter out. But anything you want to promote or anything before we go?
I want to promote human kindness. And decency, and everybody calm the fuck down and go out and take a breath, put your feet on the ground, say hi to someone who doesn't look like you, strike up a conversation about what you have in common and joke about your differences and just be a California fucking hippie.
That's the greatest ending.
That is the greatest. Look, you, fuck this guy. You know what you remind me of? When Carrie Strug vaulted into our hearts on one foot. That's what you just did for me.
That's like, yes, Carrie Strug.
You fucking yeah. did it. You fucking did it, Michael Henry.
I stuck that shit on one foot.
We're okay. I mean, we're not gonna top that. So good night.
All right. You guys are awesome.